Right, it is now. Okay. Brother Combs said that was the best message he's ever heard me preach this afternoon. No, no, actually, what happened one time in Burlington, a pastor and one of the members came and sat through the message, and the member told the pastor after the Spanish message with no interpreter that time, he said, "That's the best message I've heard in years," he said. So, thank the Lord for the good service this afternoon. I think 25 of us just there this afternoon, and really lacked others, but our desire is to come and just be a help as we can, and we'd ask you to help us pray about that, to be able to make those trips and try to be a help and a blessing. Jude, and in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse number 4. The Bible said, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." There's our context, contending for the faith, because the rest basically, or much of the book, takes up the apostates, the false that have rejected the Word of God, have embraced error, and continue using the name of Christ, but they have gone astray. They have basically received error, embraced it, live it, proclaim it. And verse 4, these are the apostates. They never were saved. They never knew God. But they had great privileges, but they rejected those privileges. And they embraced error and began to preach error. Verse 4, "Well, there are certain men crept in unawares." Why do we contend? Because of the certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to preach for a little while on this thought, contending or conceding. Contending or conceding. Are we contending for the faith, or are we conceding ground, giving way to the apostasy that we're surrounded by? We have apostasy on all sides, and then I think we have the effects of apostasy on all sides as well. Not only the apostasy, but it has affected so many. And we see that in the culture, the degradation, the ungodly things that really are not even good to mention, amongst the saints, it's not a godly thing, it's ungodly. And the Bible said ungodly men have crept in, and they have, with the name of Christ, they still proclaim themselves to be a Christian, a believer, but we know that they, by their doctrines and by their works, they are apostates. And we are to stand for the precious doctrines of the Word of God. The Bible said here the faith. It's not talking about personal faith in God. It's talking about the doctrines that are revealed and have been given to the church. Are we contending for those doctrines? Or are we conceding? Are we ceding ground? Are we giving ground to the enemy? Are we allowing the apostasy to affect us? I really believe the apostasy is not in the fundamental church, the Bible-believing church, but it can affect believers. Amen. I believe it has affected many. But God help us not to cede ground to the enemy by giving in on the things that we hold precious in the Word of God. And we know that those doctrines are that we hold precious. He said, exhort ye that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend. We're not looking here and there. We're intent on what we're doing. We are contending for the doctrines, the precious doctrines of the Word of God that have brought us into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that have blessed our lives infinitely, the Lord's blessed and given us so much through His Word. Now, if you look in verse 3, and the first word says, beloved. God has placed His love on you and I that are saved, and we are to contend for the faith because of the apostasy and the false doctrines. And beloved, here we are called the beloved. And the only ones that can contend for the faith are the beloved. There's nobody else going to do it. Amen. The apostates prove every day by embracing the wickedness of the world, they've embraced it. They've embraced the wickedness. And I have big problems, brother, with all this. When you come out, you hear people on radio, preachers and different ones that, 50%, of Christians, they don't believe in hell anymore. I bless your heart. Every born-again Bible-believing believer believes in hell. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, they're talking about the apostates and putting that, lumping that within us. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's not the truth. Amen. Beloved, I want to say, those that will stand are the beloved. And I think in verse 1 and in verse 2, we find the beloved. Now, in verse 17, just for reference, verse 17, we also find that after speaking of the apostates, he goes back in verse 17 and speaks again to the beloved. Verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20, but ye beloved. He goes back to exhort the beloved again, but in verse 1 and 2, I think I see the fact that God uses the word beloved. He is, if he's bringing his own to himself, before he gives us this great work to do of defending the faith, of contending for the faith, of basically it seems to me as Lord is bringing us in and comforting and consoling and edifying the believers, the beloved, with verse 1 and with verse 2. I want you to notice three things with me, and we'll be through. There's probably 10 things under those three, but don't worry about it. We'll be through, amen? But what I see in verse 1 and 2, the beloved, he's addressing the beloved. He's going to give them, explain the apostates, but also tell them an exhortation. What does the Bible say in verse 3? He said, and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the... It's not just giving us the facts. He's exhorting us. He's calling us to a great work of defending the faith. I want to just say this. If you're not living the faith, you're not going to defend the faith. That's basically the fact of it. If you're not living the Word of God, you're not going to defend the Word of God. You're not going to contend. I think that contending has to do with learning, knowing those doctrines, believing those doctrines, receiving, living, and contending for those doctrines in the Word of God. Amen. And brother, there's going to be a lot of folks that will cede ground. They already have. Fundamental churches, the music is something to behold, brother. It's amazing how that is so the entertaining instead of the exhorting and the message of the song. Amen. The songs we sang tonight, they reach our understanding before they reach our foot. Amen. The Southern gospel garbage that I get up here in the north and preach on the southern gospel, singers. Amen. God help me to preach it down there. I say amen right there. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to tell you one thing, brother. I want to have the right kind. You know, I'm amazed at the Spanish church there in North Carolina and El Calvario is the name of it. And I don't say that because of me. I promise you, they learned this. And you can hear their music. And Sister Erica has a plan of going down there one of these days, hopefully. Amen. Okay. I guess not then. All right. I thought she had a plan to visit him. But anyway, I was hoping she'd be able to visit the Spanish church. Amen. Anyway, brother, you're invited, brother. So you listen to their music, and you could not tell it. They go by the letter, by the way it's written. And then they go by that. I'm amazed at that. I would have expected, you know, like you hear it in Mexico. You know, not was it mariachi? But down there, I mean, a different way. But they followed the way it's in the book, and you wouldn't know it from what you have right here. You wouldn't know it. The violin, you would not know it. Piano, you would not know it. That's amazing. I thank God for that. Amen. I wish I could take credit for that. And hopefully be able to do that as we go along, amen, in other places. But anyway, there, I thank the Lord that God led them in the right way. And brethren, I want you to look with me how God brings his people to himself and encourages you and I and consoles and comforts you and I before he gives us a work to do. I want you to notice with me, in verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Now, if you notice verse 3, he gives us in verse 3, but beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, that's what he wanted to write about, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. So he wanted to write about the salvation, the common salvation. Look in verse 1. We see three words about salvation: sanctified, we see preserved, and called. Amen. That's a three-word message. Amen. You like those short messages? Brother, there's one. But those are three doctrines in or about salvation. And brother, he did not expound on salvation, but he did bring in those. He didn't talk about justification, eternal life. He taught, and he gave these are the doctrines that would encourage a believer that has to engage in a battle before him. Amen. These doctrines are encouraging to you and I as I read it and as I see it. Amen. I want you to notice, first of all, he said here in verse 1, not in that order, but look if you will, that we are called of the Lord. We are called. Amen. And brother, I thank God for that. Amen. Brother, if I'm going out here and have to contend for the faith against those that have attacked the faith, attacked the grace of God in so many things, and so many doctrines, and so many fables, and et cetera, all of that, I'm glad to know tonight, brother, it's an encouragement to my heart that I have been called by the Lord Jesus Christ to salvation. Brother, that's encouraging. Amen. I didn't just fall in church and now I don't know how to get out. I don't know how to excuse myself or whatever. I didn't just get in. Amen. God called me to salvation. Amen. And brother, the apostate knows nothing of the call of God. He's in a religion. He's in all kinds of doctrine. He has all kinds of fables. The Mormons, Jesus came to the Americas, and you know, he evangelized down there somewhere. You know, as I told over there today at the Spanish church, somewhere down there in Guatemala or somewhere down there, or Chiapas in Mexico, wherever. But they say that he went down. They built a whole fable out of new cloth. It has nothing to do with the Word of God. My Bible said he's seated at the right hand of God, waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. That's what my Bible says. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, brother, it's a comfort to me tonight to know that, thank God, when I got saved in 1977, the Lord called me unto Himself. What is the call of God? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a general call where you and I call sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe there's a specific call of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you can reject that. I'm not saying you can't. Yes, you can. But still, when you and I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we didn't just make our way because we understood it all. Thank God He worked in our lives of repentance. He worked in our lives, brother, to see our need, what was happening in our lives. We're lost without God. And He worked in our lives, and the Spirit of God working brought us to a place of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a comfort, brother. I rejoice in that. It doesn't matter who I meet. It doesn't matter where you go. Brother, I'm glad you can know that you've become a Christian. You've been saved, amen, by the grace of God. What a blessing. Brother, I like that, don't you? He said, what? And called. That's that specific call. There's a general call, thank God, amen. But I'm glad the Lord does it all. He called us to Himself. We don't have any merits of our own. He called us to repentance. We recognize Him as the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the work of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. We are called of God, and the apostate knows nothing about that work. That's an encouragement to me that the Lord is showing me, hey, you're called. Verse 1. What else does He say here? Look, if you will, in verse 1. I want you to notice this. He said, to them that are what? Sanctified by God the Father. Amen. What an encouragement that God does not tire of us or say, okay, you failed me now, I'm pushing your side. We serve a true and faithful God, brother, that has said, was said, sanctified by God the Father. I'm glad there's a positional sanctification. We've been set apart for Him. He did that through the blood of Christ, the work of Christ on the cross. We've been set apart, but there's a progressive sanctification in our lives. Thanks be unto God. He doesn't throw the clay away. Brother, He's using it. Amen. He might have to throw it down and make it all over again, but He's not going to throw it away. I'm glad that, thanks be unto God, we've been sanctified by God the Father. What a blessing when we go out and labor. We know that God is working on us. Amen. He's dealing in our lives and changing you and I. Amen. He's changing you and I. Look, if you will, in Romans. And in Romans, in chapter 8, you know the verse, Romans 8, and we will. Verse 29, Romans 8, 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. The JWs can smoke, they can drink, they can do. I've personally had conversations. I've been many times and talked with them many times. They can have certain rules and certain other ones that, you know, they can have, do what they pretty much please in those areas. Catholicism, well, you know that already. I mean, that's unreal. You do what you want to do and confess it, to the priest, whatever. I'm glad that we serve a God that is changing our life and conforming us to Christ. The apostates know nothing, I promise you. It is religion. It is, we see in the scriptures, Galatians, amen. We see man-made doctrine. We see commandments of men. And brother, I want to tell you, many of them, that's all they know. I just want to say to you that God is encouraging His beloved. God is these certain doctrines of salvation. There's many doctrines of salvation. Amen? But I want to tell you here, he said, sanctified by God the Father. And brother, he is doing the work. We don't get to choose and, I like this, and you know, I don't like that. No, he's working on all those areas. Every last one. He wants full control. He wants to guide, direct, amen, because he knows the way, amen, and we do not. But I'm glad that we have serve a God that is changing our lives and conforming you and I to Christ. That's an encouragement to me. He is in control. And then I want you to notice not only that, not only called that work that brought me to Christ. Number two, not only sanctified by God the Father, but he said, and preserved in Jesus Christ. And preserved in Jesus Christ. My position in Christ. There is a preservation. Amen. Oh, long before there is a perseverance, there is a preservation that he does in your life and in my life. Brother, the three words of salvation are an encouraging word to the beloved before that great work, brother, of contending for the faith. Brother, we've been encouraged here, brother, in our salvation. And he said, preserve. I love it. Love that. What a blessing. Before we go out and we meet the person, they may confound us. They may, in their mind, oh, have won. Oh, I talked with his Baptist or whatever. The Lord has us in his hand. And I'm there, beloved, if I fall on my face, whatever happens, you are in his hand. He has you. You're preserved. And I don't know how to say that. In Christ, you are preserved. Amen. You are kept. You are his. He has you. Amen. It's eternal life. And beloved, that's an encouragement to the believer that has a great work to do. In contending, and by the grace of God, not conceding. Ceding ground to the enemy. Lord, help us, beloved, in those things. I read there were 100 churches in Florida that came out of the United Methodist not too many days ago, a couple months back, whatever it was. Because they were not in agreement with the sin of homosexuality and all the confusion caused by that. Now, that's not the apostasy, but I believe it is some of the results of the apostasy. They turned their back on God, what God said and done. They embraced error. They've actually just said, we're one with the world. They've gone with the world. Now the world's emboldened. Now the world's proclaiming their wickedness and their vile habits and whatever. They're proclaiming those things, and they've gone further than the homosexuality. Now they want to change and destroy what is a woman. Now they want to go on further. And brother, I want to tell you, brother, the profoundness of the sea. And they said, we need to get out. Well, that's good, but you're about 100 years late, but that's fine. Praise God, come on out. Get out. Get out of it. Amen. Get out of it. We're glad for you. Why would it ever give ground to any of the garbage of this world? If there's any saved, those churches that came out, thank God they came out. Okay, praise the Lord. But I'm praising God for those that know the truth, amen, and they stand firm on the Word of God. They're not about to change. Why? They've been called, they've been sanctified, and brother, God has them in His hand. They can't change. They can't make it different. It is the Word of God. They believe it. They stand on it. They love the precious doctrines of the Word of God, amen. And brother, I'm thankful for the good Word of God tonight. Amen. And brother, by the grace of God, let's stand on it, amen. Let's stand on it. But I see an encouraging here, God that just encourages His people before He ever sends us out to labor. Who's able to stand? Well, really, the only ones that are able to stand are the saved. The other not, they have no idea, and they're not about to, so they've already given way and already embraced the world. But I want you to notice with me another thing here that I see in verse 1. Not only the saved are the only ones able to stand. And if you're not saved, you're apt to just join hands and say, okay, well, whatever. That's what they believe. Okay. It's not okay. Now, I'm not going to go out there and try to confront somebody, but I tell you what, when we're out there, I want to stand for the Word of God. God help us to do that. Amen. I don't want to concede. You see some area I am, brother, you help me out. Amen. You exhort me. Amen. I need exhortation just like you do. Not only the saved are able to, the only ones able to stand. I want you to notice the servant is able to stand. Look at you with Judah, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Look, if you will, in the book of James. Brother of James, look, if you will, in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. A servant. James said that. Jude said that. Look, if you will, in 2 Peter. Back of page or two, 2 Peter. And in chapter 1. And in chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. A servant. And look, if you will, in, let's go to Philippians. Philippians and in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. They did not hide the fact they're servants of Jesus Christ. They proclaimed it as an honor. I won't say a badge of honor, it was just an honor to be a servant of God. He said here, Jude, the servant, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. He didn't say I'm an apostle. I don't believe that he is. He said I'm a brother of James. He didn't say, I'm a half-brother of Jesus Christ. He didn't say that either. He said, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. Beloved, I want to say those that will stand are the saved. They're the only ones that can. Number two, the servant. The one that recognizes that I'm saved, I belong to God, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. That's a person that can stand. They realize they're not their own. They've been bought with a price. They belong to God. And all that I have belongs, all that you have belongs to Him. We're just servants. Amen. They proclaimed the fact that they were servants. So obviously they were not ashamed of that, but they proclaimed that. They rejoiced in that they were servants of Jesus Christ. That goes back to the bond servant in the Old Testament. Many times a person waxed poor and had to sell himself to pay those debts. And when that seventh year rolled around and they said, all right, you can go free. He said, no, I love my master. I love my family. I want to be a servant forever, a servant of love. Amen. And that love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts. Amen. And brother, it is a joy to go and contend for those precious and sweet doctrines of the Word of God that have brought us into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that have brought us every blessing that we have in our family, have brought us every blessing that we have, brother. That is the good Word of God that's done that in our life. That's what's done. Not because I'm a good person, I've done this and I've done that, but it's because, thank God, that good Word of God has been preached to me, and as I've said, they've never preached me out of the church, but they preached me down to the altar many a time. I want to say, a servant, forever, a bond servant to our Lord Jesus Christ because we love Him. Amen to God for that, brother. It is not a burden. It's a blessing. My pastor would say it's not a load, it's a lift. Amen. Amen, brother. I'm telling you, thanks be unto God. I want you to notice, brother, that servant is willingly serving the Lord Jesus. Look in 1 Corinthians. You know that, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You can quote it. Quote verse 19. Amen. Amen. Verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Amen. What does it say? Ye, plural. That's plural. Otherwise, you say you. And if that's plural, then you'd have to guess, is it plural singular? But here, ye. That old English, you don't have to guess. It's plural. Amen. And ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. We know that price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're His by creation. We're His by redemption. A servant. The servant would naturally be more apt to say, I'm just serving my master. I just want to obey him. I just want to serve him. I can't back up. I don't even want to back up. As a matter of fact, I'm glad that he's made me who I am. I made me a child of the king. He's made me. Why would I not serve? We have seen in our days those that would come out, I've probably said it before, they come out in the morning and say something that's perfectly right, but then they begin to be criticized during the day in whatever media, whatever, I don't even want to know. And so then the afternoon, I'm sorry, I should never have said that. What they said was perfectly fine, right? And then in the afternoon, that's usually politicians, whatever else, and, you know. God help us to realize we're not of our own. We belong to Him. That's a person that can stand. Brother, many will fall. Many will yield to many doctrines. Doctrines, brother. I'm telling you, doctrines of all kinds. Wow. But let's see what the Scripture has to say. Number one, the saved are the only ones that can stand. The servant can stand and will more than likely stand. He'll be more apt to stand. The saved can stand. The servant will stand. I want you to notice verse 2, and here goes my alliteration out the door. Amen. So anyway, I just want to be faithful to the exposition of the Scriptures. Verse 2, mercy unto you and peace. And love be multiplied. The saved can stand. The servant, and he can stand, which is the same. But here he's encouraging you and I, and again, I see that same encouragement. I don't know if you see it, but that's the way I see it. Verse 2, mercy unto you and peace. And love be multiplied. I want to say that is a person with an abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just trying to scratch the surface. He's not just seeing how close to the door he can stay. He's not straddling a fence. This person realizes, I need mercy in multiplied manner in my life. I need mercy. Can I get an amen? Do you realize that tonight? Brother, anybody who stands up here and preaches needs mercy from God. Now, he might want to be bold as a lion of here, but he better have mercy from God. And you stand in there and teach to teach young folks and different teaching and things like that with the ladies, brother, there's mercy. None of us can stand without mercy. And he said, here, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. We need it multiplied in our lives if we're going to stand against what we're seeing in the world today. We're going to need to stand, and we're going to need to spend some time with God where we'll have an abundant life. We'll have that abundant life in our life. Amen. We'll have an abundance of peace. Amen. They'll wonder what in the world is wrong with this person. He's got the peace of God. Brother, he loves others. Amen. And brother, what a blessing when God works these things in our lives in a multiplied way. I realize sometimes my heart wants to be hardened. But I need that love. I need it multiply. Because I can hear all kinds of garbage out here. I don't want to become hard. I want the love of God multiplied in my life. Multiply in my life. The mercy of God. And in that peace. You can't take on this apostasy without peace in your heart, brother. You need it multiplied. And the love of God, God help us to spend time alone with God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time, brother, in the study. Spend time alone with God. Spend time when everything else is shut out, as we need some multiplied mercy and we need peace and love. And then he says, verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. But before he ever got there, it's just like our God to encourage his people. Just like God, just like the Lord to encourage and strengthen and just, brother, console and give us what we need to stand true to the doctrines of the Word of God. If we had time, we could go over, and we don't. That's the message. And in verse 17, he said, beloved, remember the words of the Lord. There's your foundation. It's the Word of God. There's the foundation, the Word of God. Verse 20 says the same thing. Your most holy faith, that's the Word of God. And then he said, pray in the Holy Ghost. It's that good fellowship with God. And then verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. There we go again, the love of God. Verse 22, it's the motive for our evangelism. Some have compassion, making a difference. Verse 23, others say with fear. Verse 24 and 5, we're to keep our eyes on him, now unto him. Three things. The saved can stand. Servant will stand. The Christian with the abundant life with Christ, that person will stand. If you get out here and you have just where you just get what you get on Sunday morning, brother, you've already conceded to the enemy. You've already ceded place to the enemy. I wish they were here to hear that. Now you're here, amen. But I wish they were here to hear that. But they've already given ground to the enemy. If we're not living, we will not contend for it.